And I'm going to have you turn, if you would, to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 19. I don't think it's been too long ago, Brother Bruce, that you preached on Elijah, somewhere in the proximity of where I'm going to be this evening. If my mind serves me right, I think you were talking about Elijah's episode running from Jezebel and so forth. Weren't you on that not long ago? I thought so. Well, tonight, I want us to look at 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 9 through 16. And I actually also, I owe an apology to Sister Lisa. I normally would think to call her and have the title of my message posted, and it just plumb slipped me, and so I didn't get that done. And so, Sister Lisa, I apologize to you for putting you through this agony of all of a sudden not having a part, and you do such an excellent job in posting these services, and I normally would have done better. But anyway, 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 9 through 16, I do have a thought that I want to use this evening. It's called, "The Lord Still Small Voice." It's just that simple, "The Lord Still Small Voice." 1 Kings chapter 19, and I'll just go ahead and read several verses here, and then I'll just jump right on into my thought here this evening. The Bible says in 1 Kings 19, beginning at verse number 9, "And he came thither unto a cave, and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I, only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth, stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by in a great and strong wind, rent the mountains, and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle, went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, and anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room." Now let's bow for just a moment of prayer. Father, thank you this evening for the reading of the Word of God, and we just pray now that you will bless the thoughts tonight from this precious text to our heart and to the needs within our lives. For all of the requests that's already been mentioned this evening by the pastor, we do pray, Heavenly Father, that you would sustain with healing and bless, Lord, your people, that they may recover real soon. Now bless us as we spend this time in the Word. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Elijah was a great prophet for a dark hour. The days of Elijah were dark days spiritually. They were days that, like well, someone said, they were trying days that would try a man's soul. Elijah, as far as his background is concerned, he came from the desert area of Gilead. His appearance, and as you know, his disappearance were very unique. Elijah and John the Baptist had similarities in terms of their ruggedness and so forth, but Elijah was one of the two that would be taken to heaven without dying. He was tough during the times that he lived, and the times that he lived were tough. But now Elijah, according to how James would approach the subject, he also displayed human weakness at its worst and the power of God at its best. It's amazing the extremes you see in the life of Elijah. He displayed humanity at its worst, and the power of God at its best. His name is significant. The name Elijah means, my God is Jehovah. Now, we could spend some time even talking about that. My God is Jehovah. We could say tonight that he lived up to his name by faith, but he displayed his humanity by fear. By faith, he gave honor to the name that he was given, but through humanity or through fear, he certainly displayed his flesh. James says, a man of like passions, such as we are. You know, a lapse of faith will invariably lead to fear. Whenever there's a lapse of faith, it will lead to fear. He fled in fear to Beersheba away from Jezebel. And he sat under a juniper tree. Juniper tree basically was a desert shrub, which could reach heights of as high as even 12 feet tall. And that's where he sat. And that's where he pined away, so to speak. And interestingly enough, Elijah requested to die for a very unusual reason. He requested to die because he thought he was going to die. That's a strange reason to request to die. He thought he was going to die. It's a wonder he just didn't just, you know, relax then and let it just take its course. But no, he requested to die, sent that request to the Lord because he was fearful of dying. Now, interesting also enough, he made a 200-mile journey to Horeb, or we're talking about the region of Mount Sinai, where God gave the Ten Commandments. He was in the actual proximity of Mount Sinai. He lodged in a cave, and tradition says, and I'm just mentioning just tradition, it says that he was in the cleft of the rock where Moses was when God's glory passed by. If you go back and read the book of Exodus, chapter number 32, Moses had stood in the same mount and near where Elijah was, and it was there that Moses was exposed to the glory of God. He too had found shelter in the cleft of the rock, and that's where Elijah is now. Same proximity as where Moses had been. What I want to do this evening is to just pull from this some practical, down-to-earth applications that I believe all of us tonight can use. And just simple truths. I'll not even try to alliterate my points. I'll just throw them out and we'll see where they land. Amen? Well, first of all, tonight, here's what we can notice. Here's a practical principle. Principle number one, we see that we can understand that God is greater than our problems. God is greater than our problems. Now, interesting, as you read this, Elijah tried to get inside his thoughts. He was attempting to remind God of his faithful ministry despite the people's rejection of God and how they destroyed the altars and how he slew the prophets of Baal. But now Elijah is at this point of time in the lowness of his state of being. He was reminding God how faithful he had been. And then he was reminding God of all of those things, of the altars and how he has, how the prophets of Baal had been slain. And you know, he basically said something like this. Elijah, at this state of his mind, he would have said, I'm the only one holding the fort. That's kind of how you could paraphrase the whole thing. I'm the only one holding the fort. There's no one but me. He would have said, I've stood for you, Lord, but now, they're trying to kill me. And what do I do to deserve this? If he was a modern day Baptist preacher, he would probably be saying, I poured my heart and soul into the ministry, but look what I've got to show for it. That's kind of where Elijah was. You know, if he would have had a television back then, and would have been familiar with the old hee-haw. He would have probably also been singing the song, Blue in Despair, Agony on Me. If it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. That's kind of where Elijah was. He was so depressed. Now, this is not just a message for preachers. This is a message for all of us. I hope every one of us understand that every time our feet brings us into the door of a church and we sit before the preaching of the Word of God, this is for you. This is personal. There's something that we ought to pull from these truths and take them out of that door as we leave tonight, and they ought to affect our life as we live the rest of the week. The Bible is, praise the Lord, very applicable, isn't it? Now, the prophet was up against the idolatrous Baalism, which was advocated by Ahab. But Elijah proclaimed the wrath of God and advocated for force and judgment against the vile idolaters. And so he was up against a lot. Like I said, he was living in tough times, but he was a tough, like the president would say, a tough cookie. That's how the president states it. So, and I'm wondering tonight, now here I come with my application. What are you up against tonight? What are you dealing with this evening? We're all up against something. I can honestly tell you tonight, I'm up against something. I've got some challenges going on in my life, and I dare say every one of you do. So the question is, what are you up against tonight? Now, God let Elijah know that things were not as bad as he thought. In fact, there were 7,000 men, 7,000 prophets in Israel who had not bowed to Baal and had not kissed him. The Lord reminded Elijah of this. So listen, you can write it down. In fact, I encourage you to write this down. Take your little pencil or your pen and find yourself a sheet of paper and write this down, what I'm about to tell you tonight. Again, now, I'm talking some application. Here it is. Who we serve is greater than what we're up against. Just that simple. Who we serve is greater than what we're up against. That's always been the case, and that will always be the case. Now, the second practical principle is this one. We need to be still and to listen to God. We need to be still and to listen to God. We need, like Elijah here, we need to find solitude from the noise of this world. Elijah got inside that cave, and the Lord spoke to him in that still small voice. Now, the Bible does say, and I know you're familiar with this verse, be still and know that I'm God. He said, I will be exalted among the heathen, I will be exalted in the earth. That's Psalm 46, verse number 10. He said, be still and know that I'm God. So the challenge tonight is we need to be still and listen to God. I'll put it quite frank. There comes a time we need to turn the television off. We need to lay down the cell phone. And by the way, for heaven's sake, when you bring a cell phone to church, please remember to mute it. There's nothing any more aggravating. And the pastor will even tell you this, when phones start going off in the service, was there life before a cell phone? I mean, honest to goodness. But you see, we need some stillness. It would pay us all, so to speak, to go inside the cave sometime and to let God speak to our hearts, to get away from the noise, to get away from the technology, to get away from all these things that pull us aside. I'm telling you, some good old-fashioned time with God is always well spent. What about, let's take that thought there, the cave. He went into a cave. Into a cave. How much cave time at home do you have? How much cave time at home? How important is the Bible and prayer in your home? I don't care how fancy society gets and how great technology becomes and all the neat gadgets that we've got today and all the stuff going on in our world today, there's still no substitute for the basics, for the Bible, for prayer, for cave time. Are you listening to God's still voice? Be still and know that I'm God. What about the, here's another one. What about your home cave? Yeah, that's application here. What about your church cave? We can hear from God when we come to church, can't we? The preacher gets up, he's been studying, he's been preparing, and he preaches God's word. This is cave time. This is time to hear from God. In fact, listen to me, and I'm guilty of this. Y'all know where I sit when I come into church. I sit back there on the same pew Stephanie's on. Over on the end. I have a reason for sitting in the back, and I'm not going to tell y'all. I have a special reason. Now I got you guessing, don't I? I don't want anybody looking at the back of my head. Forget I said that, okay? Let me tell you something. Based upon the importance of the church and the importance of cave time in the church, of hearing from God through the Word, more people should be, and I'm kicking myself now, I'm ashamed a little bit here, but more people should be clamoring for the front rather than the back of the church. Stop and think about it. Because we don't want to miss anything the preacher's saying. We want to hear from heaven. We believe that God's man, God's designated man that stands in the pulpit, that studied all week and prepared his heart and comes before the church with a message from God. We want to hear what he has to say. That's what I'm talking about. God speaks through his word. The hard hearts of people, by the way, are not softened really all the time by the threatening judgments, but by the still small voice of God addressed to the heart. That's a key. Now, all right, think about this point. Not only do we need to get into the cave and hear God's still small voice, but then when he speaks to us, we need to get out of the cave. And I want you to notice something here. Verse number 13. Elijah got out of the cave. Look what it says. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle. When God spoke to him, it brought him to a place of humility, and that's the basic thought there, and went out and stood at the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" So we need to get out of the cave too. We need to hear from God, hear his voice, and then come out of the cave and mingle with people and carry on the ministry that God has called us all in to do. I'll kind of put it like this. There comes a time, and sometimes Christians get so, they get wrapped up at home, in their home affairs, and in all of the things at home. And sometimes they begin to seclude themselves, and sometimes people can't go out a lot because of health reasons, but Christians need to come out of seclusion and mingle with people because God made us social creatures to start with, and people need people. First of all, we need God, but we need one another. We need people. Some bury themselves in the seclusion away from others, but we need others to interact with. When you interact with people, it does a lot of good things. It puts us on the spot. It makes us think. It makes us ponder. It makes us react, and we need that. But here's the basic point. Elijah went into the cave. God spoke to him, but then he comes out of it. And then, I'm not done yet. We need to go into the cave, get alone with God. We need to hear from the Lord. We need to come out, fired up to serve the Lord. And then we need to return to the wilderness. I'm going to show you that. Look at verse 15. There's some application here. It says, and the Lord said to him, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. Return to the wilderness. Basically, if you study Elijah, here's what you find. Elijah had a ministry to attend to. He had two kings to anoint. Read the pack, two kings to anoint. And he had another prophet to anoint who we know was Elisha. So he needed to return to where the people were, to return to the wilderness. Go into the wilderness, God is basically saying, and live up to your calling. And that's what you and I are to do. Do you know that our life is not just about being in church? Our life includes taking what we get while we're here and using it for God's glory. And then, my fifth point is this, practical again, we need to prioritize God's still small voice. Prioritize God's still small voice. A sinner, by the way, is not scared to Christ, but one to Christ by the gospel message of God's love and sacrifice for them upon the cross. God would have him, Elijah here, to know that it was a still small voice of God that still wins the heart. It really is. You know, people can thunder and can preach and can rattle off things to us outside, but God still has to speak to our hearts. God is not in the wind. He's not in the earthquake. He's not in the fire. But he's in the still, small voice. There's some application there, isn't there? The greatest ministries are the ministries of the still, small voice, which is about redeeming grace and undying love. I'm thrilled to death when I think about the fact that this world, with all of the mess it's in, and all the sin that's rampant everywhere, it blesses my heart to know that you can't hold down the church. You can't suppress the people of God. Brother Tim has literally traveled all around this world. Now, Tim, I'm going to ask you a question. Now, I know you didn't come prepared to have to be answering questions, but is it a true statement that wherever you've traveled, as a general rule, haven't you run into Christians? Literally. All around the world. Sometimes we get to thinking it's only happening here. Only the witness and the power of God is here. But I'm telling you, God is still speaking. That's the point. And that's encouraging. Listen to this. Isn't it tragic that 50,000 Christians have been killed in Nigeria since 2009? 50,000. Now that sounds depressing and discouraging, and it's tragic. But you know what that tells us? There were 50,000 Christians. That lets us understand that I don't care how bad it might be, God still has a witness. God still is saving people. There are countless Christians living in the worst countries who still do not count their lives dear unto themselves because of their love for Jesus Christ. The still, small voice of God still moves the hearts of people. The greatest works of God are done in secret places of the heart. When God speaks to the individual, His glory is revealed in ways that could not be otherwise. The power of the still, small voice is not restricted to any one church either. It's seen in the home place where families meet together to altar. It's seen when Christian parents are teaching their children to hear the still small voice. It's seen in Sunday school classes where teachers teach and children listen. God is not interested, by the way, in turning heads, but is interested in moving hearts. The still small voice of God is a convicting voice. Convicting. The jailer heard it and was convicted and said, "What must I do to be saved?" The still small voice of God. What about Felix? Felix heard and trembled. Saul once responded. He fell to the ground and gets up gloriously saved. The eunuch once responded to that still small voice after being baptized. The Bible says he went on his way rejoicing. The still small voice is a compelling voice. God's voice is compelling. Jesus once spoke and Lazarus was compelled to come out of the grave. Jesus once spoke and the wind and the waves were compelled to be still. That still small voice is a mighty voice and will soon be heard. And I believe sooner than we realize when the church will hear the voice of God saying, come up hither, and the saints of God will be compelled to go up. I was preaching Sunday and I thought about this. Y'all have heard that old episode of Twilight Zone. You remember that you've watched, I used to watch the Twilight Zone, and there's one particular movie that I have never forgotten of the lady on the airplane 30,000 feet in the air, and she looks out, she looks out the window, and there sits a man on the wing of the airplane. Airplane's 30,000 feet, I would assume, since it's an airliner, and here's a guy sitting out on the wing of the airplane. Y'all remember seeing that? In fact, I think I mentioned it Sunday at the rescue mission. Well, now you're thinking, preacher, get on with the message. What are we talking? Why are we talking about Twilight Zone? Well, I'm not done yet. I'm almost done, but I'm not there yet. Let me tell you something. God's going to be speaking sooner than we realize, and the saints of God are going to be going far higher than 30,000 feet. We'll be waving goodbye to that fictional guy sitting on the wing of that plane when God's voice is heard. I'm telling you, I don't know about you, but I'm getting more excited the older I get, the more this old body of mine hurts when I get to thinking about heaven and the blessings of God that's coming. I'm thankful tonight that there's not a problem in this world any greater than God's power to take care of it. And so this evening, just a few tidbits of thought, the still small voice of God. Get alone, listen to the Lord, stay in your word, keep on praying, keep on serving, keep on loving the Lord. It'll be worth it all when we one day see His blessed face. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight, and bless now as the pastor comes with the prayer requests and the final part of the service in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Bruce.